We'll start from Samach Gimel Amud Aleph the top. Okay, the Eima Harabayis the Asur b'Menal Leilfa miMenal. Let's learn like this: that Harabayis, which you're not allowed to wear shoes, so we learn from shoes that you're not allowed to spit either. If you can't wear shoes on Harabayis, surely you can't spit. Avo Beis Hakneses the Shor b'Menal, but the Shul where you're allowed to wear shoes. Of the Yolit Mimenal Leheter, instead of learning that you're allowed to spit in the shul from Menal, that if Menal is mutter, then spitting is also mutter. Nailit Mikapandra, we know that to make a shul into a short cut is also awesome. So let's learn what's called Rikika from Kapandria. Just like you're not allowed to make a shortcut in a shul, you're not allowed to spit in a shul either. The lesser, and then we'll aser spitting in shul. Elom Arava. Ki beso. Ma beso a kapandria, kapit inish, ar kiko menal, lo kapit inish, a beso kinesis, kapandri hu de osir, rikiko menal, shari. The svara of why spitting in shul is mutter, and we don't learn it from kapandria, is because in shul, we do what you would do at home. Okay? At home, you wear shoes. At home, right, again, the minig was that people would spit. Right, it's not something that's considered out of bounds to spit in your house or to wear shoes in your house. And therefore, wearing shoes and spitting in shul is not a problem, but kapandri is a problem. Okay, people would be makbid if people use their house as a shortcut to get to someplace else, to walk through their house to get somewhere else. Okay. Rashi, the ima harabayis the osur b'menal yalfina rikika minei lisura. By harabayis, where you're not allowed to go with shoes, so there we learn that you're not allowed to spit either. If you can't wear shoes, kol shekain, you can't spit. The kal v'chomer avol beis hakneses the shor b'menal, but a shul where you're allowed to wear shoes lo neilif rikika lehetera. We shouldn't learn that you're allowed to spit from the fact that you're allowed to wear shoes. The rikika meisa, because spitting is more disgusting than wearing shoes. Eli alfina mikapandra liso. We should learn that you're not allowed to spit in a shul from the fact that you're not allowed to make a shortcut of a shul. Okay, Numara says no. That spitting and shoes are one category, and making a shortcut is a different category. Okay, kol chos me bracha shiva mikdash, kol kach lama. So it says whenever they would end the bracha in the mikdash. So they would say, what's it called? Min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam, right? V'yivarchu shem kvodecha min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam. And they wouldn't answer amen. They would say, baruch shem kvod malchus olam v'ed. Okay? So why all of this lengthy ending of every bracha? L'fishen onim amen b'mikdash. Since you don't answer amen in the mikdash, but you have a lengthy answer, so too, they made a lengthy ending to the brachas. How do you know you don't answer Amen in the Mikdash? Just a simple Amen. Shenemar kumu borchu es Hashem Elokeichem min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam. Right? So they said, bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam. That's a hint to the fact that at the end of the brachas, we add this min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam. V'omer v'yivorchu shem kvodecha u'meroma malko brachu tehila. Right? That v'yivorchu shem kvodecha is a hint to baruch shem kvod malchus olam v'ed. Not just say Amen after the bracha, don't answer Amen, but V'yivorchu Shem Kvodecha. Say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam V'ed. Yochol kol ha-brachas kulam te'elohem t'ila ha'achas. And you might think all of the brachas, what's it called, you answer Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam V'ed once, on the end of all the brachas, but not bracha by bracha. Talmud lomer umaromam al kol brachu tehila. Al kol bracha u'bracha te'elo tehila. For every bracha, you answer by itself, Baruch Shem Kavod. Rashi. Yivarchu Shem Kvodecha, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed Onim. Tahamavarach Omer, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Min Ha'olam V'yad Ha'olam. And the one who makes the bracha ends before the end of the bracha with this Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Min Ha'olam V'yad Ha'olam. Mefarish v'tosefta, Shetiknu Min Ha'olam V'yad Ha'olam, Lahodiyah She'in Ha'olam Hazeh Lefnei Ha'olam Abba Klum. We had before that when in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, not in the first Beis Hamikdash, in the second Beis Hamikdash, when the Tzedukim didn't believe that there was another world. There's only one world. So in the first Beis HaMikdash they said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam. In the second Beis HaMikdash they added, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Okay, now Rashi explains, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean there's two worlds. Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. But it means the following, that Olam Hazeh, compared to Olam Haba, in light of Olam Haba, is nothing. It's only a preparation. It's a preparation room to get into the castle. The whole purpose that you bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, in order that you should be able to do it in the next world. Whatever you do in this world, that's what you prepare for the next world. So a person makes brachas in this world, is able to make brachas in the next world. And so on. Somebody says shira in this world, he can say shira in the next world. So min ha'olam, from this world, ad ha'olam, that's the purpose. This world is the preparation for the next world. So it's not just that there's two worlds, but really the two worlds are really one. This is the preparation place, and the other place is the other world is where you benefit from what you prepared over here. Tehila achas shiyanu pam achas baruch shem kavod machus l'mvoed. I might think that after all the brachas that were made that day, you say baruch shem kavod machus l'mvoed. I'll call up brachas besot bracha achrona. Right? I might think you do it at the end of the brachas. Kamash malah. No, on every bracha you say baruch shem kavod. Just like on every bracha you say on me. Hiskinu shi'a odom shoel b'sholem chaveiro. In the time of Boaz, they made a takana that you should say hello, in using Shem Hashem. Okay. That Shalom, you should use Shem Hashem. Maiva Omer, so it brings down a few psukim. The chitema Boaz midaitim nafshe, and we brought a first pasuk, that Boaz greeted the kotzrim b'shem Hashem, Hashem imachem. And they answered him, Yivarechecho Hashem. So why isn't that enough? Right? Why do we have to bring the pasuk from Gidon, that the Malach said to Gidon, Hashem imcha gibor achayil, where he also, said hello to him, he also greeted him with Shem Hashem. Why isn't Boaz enough? Gemara says, the chitema Boaz midaitid in afshe komer, maybe you'll want to say that Boaz didn't say this in order to make a takana that people should do it. He did it on his own. Right? Don't learn from Boaz. Boaz didn't do this as a takana. He did it just as something he did on his own. So we shouldn't learn from him that we should do it. Right? Therefore you have the pasuk Hashem imcha gibor achayil. The Malach came to Gidon, and he told him Hashem imcha gibor achayil, so we can learn from Gidon. You don't need two psukim to tell me the same thing. Right? One that Boaz did it, and one that the Malach did it. The chitem of Malach udeko amar leila Gidon. Maybe no. Maybe the Malach didn't greet Gidon b'shem Hashem. It's not what we're supposed to learn from here. But the Malach told Gidon that the Rabban Shalom was with him. He just informed him that Hashem imcha. He didn't say Hashem imcha, may God be with you, as a greeting. He said it as information, right? That the Rabban Shalom was with you. Okay. So therefore, we surely can't learn from here that you can greet somebody b'shem Hashem. Toshma al tavos ki zikna imecha, right? So the next pasuk comes to tell me, no, don't make that havamina. You can learn it from Boaz. Because think that Boaz just did things on his own. If he did it, that other people should do it too. The Omer eis lasos lashem eferu sorasecha. And if you'll have a taina, how could Boaz do that? How could Boaz institute that people should use Shem Hashem in just their personal greetings? So that's an eis lasos lashem eferu sorasecha. He felt that there was a time that people needed to use Shem Hashem in a greeting, and even though it's a little bit questionable whether you should do such a thing, but in a time of Eis Lasos Lashem, Eferu Torasecha, sometimes you can do something that appears to be not 100% right if there's a necessity for it in order to strengthen the Torah. See Rashi? The Chitema Boaz Midaitei Ovad, V'lo Garmina Mine, we shouldn't learn from Boaz. Boaz did it on his own. But not that we meant to teach us that we should do the same thing. Toshma di gamrina mi malach, shomer l'gidon. That's the case, then the pasuk by the malach of Gidon is not necessary. Must be that the malach told Gidon is to taka teach us that we should do it. The chitem of malach hu de komer l'gidon, kolomer lo shoal b'shlomo. Maybe no, the malach didn't greet Gidon with Shem Hashem. And now that we have two psukim, one that Boaz did and one that the malach did, So at least we learn from both of them that we should do it too. No, maybe the Malach never greeted Guido. V'lo berchu, he didn't bless him. Ela b'shlichus ka'omar, mi'eis ha'makom, he informed Guido, b'shem Hashem, that God is with him. L'vasor shashchina imo. V'lo gamrina mine. So we don't learn from him that you can greet people b'shem Hashem, because that's not what happened over there. Guido wasn't greeted. Guido was informed that Hashem was with him. Toshma al tovos ki zikna imecha. Al tovos es Boaz, leimor midaito asa. Don't insult Boaz by saying that he just did something on his own without doing it as something to teach us that we should also do it. Elalim lomod mizikne Yisrael. It's an insult to think that Gedolim just down do things. They do it, they're doing it to teach other people how to do things properly. And if you'll have tainas on Boaz, how could he do such a thing? How could he make such a takana that people should greet each other? B'shem Hashem, right? That we have a pasuk. What's the idea over here? Why taka did they institute in the time of Boaz that people should greet each other? B'shem Hashem. So it could be that in the time of Boaz, in the time of Shvot HaShoftim, so each Hayosher Be'ein of Yasa, people did whatever they thought was right. They didn't consider other people. In other words, if I thought it was right, then I did it. And even though the repercussions for others or how it fits into society may not be anything, but for me it's okay. So everybody did what they thought was right, and the Memela things was a terrible society in the time of the Shoftim. So what Boaz, what does it mean to be shalom b'shem Hashem, right? Hashem imcha yivarechecha Hashem, or like we say, shalom aleichem, and aleichem hashalom. So the idea is that my shlemus, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu depends on you. That's what it means to be shalom b'shem Hashem. My connection to Hashem depends on you, and your connection to Hashem depends on me. That's what the other person says. He's explained, that's why shalom aleichem means my shlemus depends on you. Aleichem hashalom means you're right, your shlemus depends on me. I don't just throw it back at you and say shalom aleichem again, but I say aleichem hashalom, right? True, your shlemus depends on me, but my shlemus also depends on you. Everybody is interrelated. So by using Shem Hashem to greet other people, people understood that their relationship to Hashem depends on other people. You can't just do whatever you think is right. You have to take in consideration how does it fit in for everybody. So that was the tikkun for what they in their generation did. And why, what taka, is that the way the greeting is? Why the first one says shalom aleichem and the second one says aleichem shalom? Why don't we just say shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem? So one answer they say is that the Gemara says that if somebody who greets somebody else and the other person doesn't answer, he's considered a ganav. So if both of them said shalom aleichem, so you would never know who the initiator was. So if you heard somebody say shalom aleichem and you heard the other person didn't answer, you'd think he's a ganav. But if the first person says shalom aleichem, the other one answers aleichem shalom, then you know if you heard aleichem shalom, the first person already said shalom aleichem. So he's not a ganav by not answering. He already initiated it. So you know who the initiator is, you know who the answer is. So you never choshed somebody for not answering. It's one question. I don't know, but here it's because not really, because this is what's it called? This is a shoel b'shem Hashem, right? Is different than just saying, you know, boker or whatever. That doesn't say if you don't answer the person, you're a ganav. But here the idea of being a ganav is that if I say to you, right, my shlemus depends on you, and you don't answer me, you're stealing from me my self-respect. That's called gzeilas ha'ani. Okay, so that's one pshat they say. Another pshat they say is that shalom is Shem Hashem. Okay, so we're saying, we're greeting somebody with Shem Hashem, shalom. You're really not supposed to say Shem Hashem first. You really should say, if you make a korban, you don't say korban, Lashem korban, you say korban Lashem. Because in case something happens to you between the time you said Shem Hashem and you finish it off, you said Shem Hashem levatola. So in order to avoid that, you don't say the shame till the end. So this way, if you said the shame, you said everything. You're not going to be interrupted in the middle. Because if you're interrupted in the middle, you just interrupted after you say korban. So therefore, you should never say it says Lashem korban, but korban Lashem. So if that's the case, you shouldn't say shalom aleichem. You should always say aleichem shalom. So you finish the phrase with Shem Hashem, not start the phrase with Shem Hashem. So why taka does the first person say Shalom Aleichem? So we had before that a person who initiates the greeting has a bracha that Marichin lo yomo v'shnosa. He's going to live a long life. So it's not mistaber, the guy's going to drop dead between the Shalom and the Aleichem if he's the initiator. He's getting a long life, it's mistaber, not going to die between the Shalom and the Aleichem. So since he has that bracha, he can say Shalom and then Aleichem. But the guy who answers doesn't have that bracha. He may drop dead between the Shalom and the Aleichem. So he therefore has to say the Shalom at the end. So he finishes the phrase with Shem Hashem, not starts with Shem Hashem. Okay. And the way we explained it is that you're not just throwing back the Shalom Aleichem at the other guy. But you're accepting it. You're right. Your shlemus depends on me. But Aleichem Shalom, my shlemus also depends on you. Okay. Let's go on. Omar Rava. Hai krah mireisha l'seifei midrash, miseifei l'reisha midrash. This pasuk is the kind of pasuk, like we had before, that you can darshan backwards and forwards. It makes sense either way, whether the cause and the effect, right, are interchangeable. The cause could be one thing and the effect the other, or vice versa. Right, meaning, midrash mireisha l'seifei midrash. Eish lasos l'ashem. My time, mishum heferu torasecha. It's a time to do for Hashem. Why? Because people have nullified the Torah. Because people have nullified the Torah, it's a time to do for Hashem. Okay, that's one way of learning. So the cause is the people have nullified the Torah, and the result is eish lasos Hashem. Therefore, it's a time to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or misefa l'resha midrash. You can learn it the other way. Heferu torasecha, my time, mishum eis lasos Hashem. Since it's a time to do for Hashem, you're allowed to nullify the Torah. Sometimes you can do things that appear to be usur, right, because it's necessary to do for Hashem. Right? Sometimes there's a need to do things, emergency measures, which normally wouldn't be permitted, but when it's a time to do for Hashem, you can do emergency measures. So here it's the opposite. Right, because it's an eis lasos Hashem, you can nullify the Torah. Or because they've nullified the Torah, it's a time to do for Hashem. So you can learn the pasuk either way. Tanya, Rashi, let's see first. Amisefa l'resha, imbasa l'darsha l'mikra zeh, yesh l'cha l'darsha yofa bein b'ksivaso bein b'hafel. You can darshan the pasuk the way that it's written, or you can darshan it backwards, and it'll still make sense. Either way it makes sense. Mereisha l'seifa, eis lasos Hashem mishum heferu. Itim heim Hashem, lasos mishpat puranios, ba'ovri ritzono mishum deferu torasecha. Sometimes, since people have nullified the Torah, it's a time to do for Hashem and see to do it that they get punished, right, and get what they deserve. Miseifa l'resha, or you can learn it the opposite. Heferu toraso, osei ritzono. The people who do ratzon Hashem sometimes have to do things that appear to be nullifying the Torah, kigone lio bahara karmel. Where's an example? Eliyahu Navi, Bahara Karmel, was allowed to bring a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash, even though that's normally Osir, but it was an Eish Lasos Hashem. Right? He was able, Bahura Shoah, sometimes with an emergency measure, you're allowed to do something, the Sanhedrin's allowed to do that, a Navi is allowed to do that, to an emergency measure, right? For any Aveira in the Torah except for Avodah Zarah, on a one-time basis, to be over an Isser in order to make a point. Shehikri b'bama b'shas Yisra b'amos. Mishum de'es laso siag v'gedr b'Yisrael l'shmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is not something that's against the Torah. That's part of the system. The Torah itself said there are times when you're allowed to make emergency measures with the condition that it's not Avodah Zarah and that it's not permanent. It's only a temporary measure. Okay. Let's go on. Tanya Hilul Hazokin Omer b'shas ha'machnisim pazer. When everybody is holding back, you spread out. B'shas ha'mefazrim kanes. When everybody is spreading out, you hold back. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, B'shas ha'machnisim she'ein chach mehador marbitzim Torah l'tamidim. In a time when the leaders of the generation, for some reason, are not spreading Torah, they're keeping it basically to themselves. They're not spreading it around. Pazer, atar l'shanos ha-talmidim. Then you see to it you have students. If other people aren't spreading Torah, then you spread the Torah. So in a time when there aren't other people who are spreading Torah, then you should spread it. When the great people in the generation are spreading Torah, then kaneis ato, although sikul shvur aleihem. Then you, there's no purpose for you to do that, right? There's other people doing it. So b'mokom she'ina nashim ishtad liyosish. When there's other people, then let them do it. The afzula kovet shamayim he lechos umidas vanova uksiv eslas tos vashem eferu torasecha. Right? This is also what's it called a something of eslas tos vashem. Right? To teach people humility. Right? They're teaching people Torah. You're teaching people humility by saying that I'm not as great as the other people who are disseminating Torah. Torah is being disseminated. Who am I to disseminate Torah when it's being done anyway by greater people than me? But if people aren't doing it, then you should do it. The only thing that bothers me is if the Gedolim aren't doing, there must be a reason. So who are you to go and do something connected what they're not doing? Right? The Chara, if they're not doing it, there must be a reason why shouldn't you learn from them and also not do it. But it could be no. It could be that they're not doing it because it's not that they in a time when the Torah isn't appreciated, which we'll get down in a second, then it could be the Gedolim shouldn't disseminate the Torah. Because that would shortchange the Torah. It would make the Torah look cheap. But if regular people do it, it doesn't make the Torah look cheap. Somebody has to teach Torah. Right? So if the little people teach Torah, and that's in a time when the Torah isn't appreciated that much, so the big people, right, hold back to teach the generation a lesson, you don't really deserve it. But somebody has to teach people Torah, so the little people teach it. So then that's the idea. But if the great people are teaching, Torah is something that people do appreciate. So the great people also teach Torah, then there's no reason for you to get involved and have to teach. Maybe right? What? Maybe okay, that could be also.
Or maybe the public's talking to him, he's the Gadol.
No, but Rashi says not like that. Rashi says at the time when the Gedolim Shebedor are not Marbits or Marbits, then you who are not as great as them. This is, okay, let's go on. Yeah, here, maybe there's some busy. They have no time to disseminate Torah. Could be. Okay. The Imra Isa Dor Shatorah Chaviv Olav Tazir. If you see a generation that appreciates Torah, then you should spread the Torah. Right? People appreciate it, should spread it. Shenamar Yesh Mefazer V'Nosat. Oh. The Imra Isa Dor Shain HaTorah Chaviv Olav. You see a generation, they don't appreciate the Torah. Then kanesh, then hold it back. Don't be mafker of the Torah to people who don't appreciate it anyway. Right? People want, teach them. They're not interested, don't push it on them because then you're taking the Torah and you're cheapening the Torah, right, to give people something they don't want altogether. They don't appreciate it, then let them not get it. Shenamer, eis lasos lashem, heferu torasecha. Rashi. The imro isa dor sheina Torah chaviv olav kanesh. The altakel divrei Torah lebizoyin. You're insulting the Torah by forcing it on people who don't want it. You're giving them something that they're not going to appreciate. Heferu torasecha lemifazra. So in a eis lasos lashem b'shas shakinus l'shem shamayim, when you're holding back Torah l'shem shamayim to let people know you're not going to get this. This is too chasha for you. You don't appreciate it, right? So based on what the Chafetz Chaim says, not here, we can understand why this how this works. Chafetz Chaim says when do people not appreciate things when it's available to them. When it's not available, then they appreciate it. Right? People's parents, they don't appreciate when they're alive. When they're not alive anymore, that's when they appreciate them. Usually. Right? People, what's it called? We had a Beis HaMikdash, we didn't appreciate it. Now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, now we appreciate it. So when the Rebbe Shem threatens to take something away or it's taken away, people appreciate what they don't have more than what they do have and take for granted. So therefore, if somebody says, I'm not going to teach you Torah, then people say, hey, we want Torah, and then Torah is important. But if everybody just, it's readily available, then what's it called? Then sometimes people take it for granted, they don't appreciate it. Okay. Hachi Garcina, we didn't get it yet. Doresh Bar Kapora. Zulus Kibbutz Knei Minei. Right? What's it called? He says, meaning like this, Ba'asar de les gvar, tamon havi gvar. Right? Where, what's it called? There's no person, you be the person. In other words, B'makom shein anashim, hishtad liyosish. Rashi, Zulus kibbutz k'nei minei, imra'isa pragmatia bezol. If you see somebody selling something cheap, right, kibbutz v'kenaymine, then make an effort to buy it from him. V'asof shesof alishyaker. Right? But if you see a bargain, take it. Because later it's going to go up and you're going to have you're buying something cheap, you'll be able to sell it for more expensive. Okay? Meaning that if there's no other people involved, then you, they say legabi mitzvahs. You see a mitzvah that nobody's doing, do it. Right? Get the bargain. Right? Because it's a big thing to do things that other people aren't doing. Okay? Same thing. If you see a time when the Torah is cheap, then you get involved because later it'll be expensive and you'll have it. Om rabayish mamino, ba'asr de iskever tamon, lo tavigever, pshita, right? What did Bar Kapora teach me? That if there's no person around, then you do. Mashma, if there is another person, you shouldn't do? Of course. What's it called? Of course, if somebody bigger than you, of course you shouldn't chaperein and do what other bigger people are doing. So what is Bar Kapara teaching me? Lo nitzruch elu shebishneim shavim. What Bar Kapara is telling me is the following. If there's no one else doing, right, what you can do, do it. If there's somebody else doing it, even if he's not greater than you, he's equal to you, then let him do it. Then you don't have to chaperai. Rashi, pshita hoda baya, lomali pshita shelo yore adam halacha b'pnei rabo. Right? If somebody's greater than you, of course, you're not going to be the one to push your way in and do what he should be doing. Why did Abaye have to tell me why did Abaye have to medayik from Bar Kapara, right, that if there's nobody else equal to you, right, doing, then you should do. But if there is somebody else, then don't do. And what do I need Abaye to tell me that? If somebody's greater than you, of course you don't do in his place. Now, you don't paskin in front of somebody who's greater than you. So Gemara says, no, you need a rabbi to tell me, even if there's nobody greater than you, but there's nobody lesser than you, there is somebody equal to you, still, let him do it, don't do it yourself. Okay. B'sheshneim shavim, in basa b'makom talmud chacham, ne'en chagadol mimenu. If you came to a place where there's a talmud chacham, and you're not greater than him, but you're not lesser than him, al titel atara lidrosh m'komo, then don't push yourself in his place, let him do. Right? Even if he's not greater than you, even if he's equal to you. Okay. Dorash Bar Kapara, another drasha, Ezeu Parsha Ktana, Shekol Gufei Torah Tluyim Bo. What is a small parsha in the Torah, which all the Torah depends on? Bechol Drochecho Do'ehu, Vehu Yasher Or Chosecho. Know the Rabbanu Shem in all your ways. Right? Everything you do should be L'Shem Shamayim. Right? Everything you should do with intention, L'Shem Shamayim, and in that way, your whole life becomes Torah. Amar Rav, afilu d'dvar aveira. Even if sometimes you have to do something that doesn't look proper, like we said, eis lasos l'Hashem heferu torasecha. Sometimes you have to do emergency measures and you have to do something wrong, right? The shem shamayim. That also should be done the shem shamayim, right? Even the aveiras that you have to do sometimes should be the shem shamayim. Rashi, the chol drachecha afilu lavra aveira. Everything you do, even sometimes you have to be over an aveira. As an emergency measure, that should be also done l'shem shamayim. Do'ehu, tein leiv in tzorech mitzvahu, kigon elio b'har ha-karmel, avar aleho. Okay, the Marsha says that would seem simple. That's not an aveira then. Then that becomes a mitzvah. So he says a different shot. He says even when you have to be over aveiras, where is it? First, there's this idea over here that Rashi even though says that you shouldn't be paskin in front of somebody greater than you, right? Or you shouldn't, and you shouldn't not paskin if there's nobody else around, right? That's one idea. That you really don't need a pasuk to tell me. He says the main idea over here is even in Esek HaTzibur, not Torah, right? There's people involved in Tzorchei Tzibur. So there's other people doing it, then you don't have to do it. But if there's nobody else doing it, then you should be osik in Tzorchei Tzibur. It's not an idea of paskening in front of other people. He says, what's it called? Where did he say about what's it called? I don't remember now. I thought he said something like that. I saw it somewhere. Okay, I guess. Means real aveiras. In other words, at least if you're doing an aveira, right, at least have in mind that, you know, you're not stam hefker, stam, what's it called? Even when you're doing the Aveira, you should do it only because you the Yetzer Hara is bothering you, and you're not doing it because you don't believe. Even there, b'chol d'rachecho d'ehu, know the Rabbanu Shalom. I think I saw the Shita Mekubetzes, the Achron. I think he brings it out from somebody. Maybe I saw it. That a person can do an Aveira because he doesn't care, doesn't believe. Or he can do an Aveira and say, look, I really believe, I know it's the wrong thing to do, I just can't control myself. So even when you're doing an Aveira, do it l'shem shamayim, meaning that the ehu, know that there's a Rabbanu Shalom, know that you're doing something wrong, know you'll get punished for it, but never, what can I do? Right? Instead of doing it in such a way that you b'chlal don't believe and don't know the Rabbanu Shalom through in the Aveira. I think that's what he says. Okay, let's go on. Dorish bar kapara, la'olam yalami radim es b'no nikiya v'kala. Right? Bar kapara said, the same thing that Reb Meir said in Kedushin, person should always teach his son a trade that is clean and easy. Maihi, what is a trade that's clean and easy? Omar Rav Chisda, machta de talmiyusa, embroidery. Right, that's what's it called, a clean and easy trade. It's easy to do without stealing, and it's an easy trade. Rashi. Mechat machta de talmiyusa, broshid, whatever this is, shatfiros asio shiro shiros ke talmimana. It's like an embroidery.
Brocade.
Brocade? What is that? Same kind of thing? Okay. Okay, let's go on. Tanya Rebbe Omer la'olam al yarba adam reim b'sof beisol. A person shouldn't have too many friends over his house all the time. His house shouldn't be hefker. Shenamar ish reim lehisro eya. Right? If you have too many friends, lehisro eya, it makes you lehisro eya means for like kosel ra'ua, weak things. It's gonna weaken you and make you fall down. You shouldn't have, your house shouldn't be open constantly to be hefker. Tanya Rebbe Omer, al yimne odom apitropis b'sof beiso, person should not leave somebody in his home who is like a manager. Don't put a manager in your house to take care of your affairs. Why? Shilmoli lo mina potifar es Yosef apitropis, if Potifar wouldn't have made Yosef a manager, left him home alone with his wife, right? Right? Because he left somebody to take care of his affairs at home without him being there to be mashgiach, it leads to not good things. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Loma Nismacha Parshas Nozer le Parshas Sota. Why did the Torah put Parshas Nozer next to Parshas Sota? Lomer lechoshe kol aroa sota bekilkula yazer asher hayayin. You see a sota, right, and as she is embarrassed, insulted, right, that what wine leads to, right? You see, this poor woman, right, because she was not so serious, and she drank wine, she came to being suspected of being an adulteress. So you should realize also that it could happen to you. So Yazir Asra, you should also then not drink wine, right? You should be impressed by what happened to the sota. That should make an impression on you to make you want to not drink wine. Omar Chizkiya, Bereder of Parnach, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Loma Nismacha Parshas Sota, the Parshas Trumas and Maisras. Why is the Parshas Sota also, on the other end, connected to Trumas and Maisras? Loma Lecha Kol Sheyesh Lo Trumas and Maisras, Ve'eno Nosel LeKohen, if you have Trumas and Maisras, and you don't give them to the Kohen, Sof Nitzrach LeKohen Al Yedei Ishto. In the end, you're going to need that Kohen, right, because your wife's going to be a Sota, and what's it called, and you're going to have to go to the Kohen to bring her as a sota. Shenemar of Ishas Kadosh of Lo Yeh, the Samech Le Ish Ish Kisis Te Ishto. Uksi Vehevi Ha Ishas Ishto, to bring your wife as a sota, but if you didn't want to go to the Kohen to give him Trumas and Maestras, that's a cute shetel, right, what's the idea? It says that what's it called, that a person, a Roez Zonos, a person who goes to Zonos, he gets poor. It also says if you don't give Trumas and Maestras, you also get poor. So if a person doesn't give Trumas and Maestras, he's going to get poor. His wife's going to think the reason he got poor is because he's going around to Zonos. And she's going to say, the halacha is that if I'm Mezana, but my husband is also Mezana, then the Sota waters don't have any effect on me. So she won't feel afraid to be Mezana because she'll know that since her husband is not acting properly, it's not going to have any effect. So it'll take away the deterrent from her. So in the end, if you don't give Trumas and Maisris, you're going to end up bringing your wife as a sota because you're taking away her deterrent, because she's going to assume the reason you became poor is because you're a Roa Zonos, not because you didn't give Trumas and Maisris. The low old, and the sof shenitzrach lohem, shenemar v'ishas kadosh of lo yihiyu. Right? In the end, you're going to have to come to Matnas Aniyim. If you don't give Trumas and Maisris, you're going to need Maisra Ani yourself. You're going to become poor. Rashi, it's something that you go down and get weaker. Apitropis machnis umolzi nechasev, a manager who takes care of his affairs in his absence. Kol sheyesh lo trumas umaisus veinu nosim lekoyim sof shenitzrach lo aydei ishto shenasis sota. The ishes kadoshev lo yiyu v'slamech le ish ish kisiste ishto uksiv ahevi ha ishes ishto ishes kadoshev lo yiyu shema akiv kadoshev etzlo veinu nosim lekohanim levim. Person holds back Trumas and Maisis, doesn't give it to the Kohen and Levi. Sof shenitzrach lehem. Then you'll need the Kohen and Levi for other things. Shenasa ani, v'tzorek lekach, litul Maisir ani. You'll need the Trumas and Maisis for yourself. You'll have to take Maisir ani. Lo ye, you'll ask me. You'll need them. Okay. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak im nosnon sof misasha. If you did give Trumas and Maisis properly, in the end you'll get rich. Shenemar isha sheyite in the Kohen, lo ye. Lo yemom and harbe. You'll have. If you give to the Kohen, you'll have. Amar Avuna bar Brechya mishum Reb Elazar hakaper kol hamashatif shem shamayim b'tzaro kofim lo parnaso. Person who, when he has tzaros, he mentions shem Hashem, right? So what's it called? He's going to get double parnaso. Shenemar v'hoya shakai b'tzarecha the kesef to'af al shloch. If the Rabban Hashem will be with you, you'll mention him when you have tzaras. You won't think that the Rabban Hashem abandoned you. But you'll realize that the Rabban Hashem is the one who gave you the tzaras, and you'll learn from them. Then, kesef toafos, you'll have a lot of parnasa. What is toafos? Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer, parnasos ma'ufefes lo ketzibor. Your parnasa will fly to you like a bird. Shenemer, it'll fly high. It'll soar high. You'll have a soaringly high parnasa. Shenemer, kesef toafos lo. Omer of Tavi, Omer of Yoshia, kol amar pa'atzmi divrei Torah, ein bo koach lamo biyom tzora. If you weaken yourself from Torah, you won't have the power to stand up to tzoras. Shenemar hisrapesa biyom tzora tzar kochacha. Omer of Ami bar Maslo, Omer Shmuel, afilu mitzvah achas. Even if you weaken yourself from one mitzvah, you're not going to have the koach to stand up to tzoras. Shenemar hisrapesa mikol makom. If you weaken yourself in any way, then you're going to have problems standing up to tzaras.